Adventures in Research. Discoveries sometimes start in strange ways. For example, the first United States exploring expedition ever fitted out had at least some of its roots in the agitation a few years previously of a retired army captain who believed that the earth was hollow. This is the story of Lieutenant Charles Wilkes and the continent of Antarctica. This is Paul Shannon bringing you another transcribed story of science produced as a public service in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. And today telling you the story of the man who found a continent. Our story begins on the 27th day of January, 1823, in the lobby of the House of Representatives.
Did you say to the center of the earth, Johnson? He wants to send an expedition to the center of the earth?
That's right, Farrelly.
Ridiculous. What makes him think there's anything at the center of the earth? Or that an expedition could get there if we did send it?
Captain Sims has been carefully developing his theory since 1818, almost 5 years now. He says he has reason to believe that the center of the earth is hollow. Now, he presented this petition to the first session of the Senate last March. Oh, here it is. A petition stating his belief of the existence of an inhabited concave to this globe. And further...
He has people living there, too.
And vegetation.
Ridiculous. Johnson, it's ridiculous.
Let me continue, Farrelly. His desire to embark on a voyage of discovery to one or other of the polar regions. His belief in the value and great honor to his country of the discoveries which he would make.
You mean to stand there and tell me that Captain Sims actually believes that the center of the earth is hollow and inhabited, Johnson?
He does. Now, in his theory of concentric spheres, Captain Sims also says that the interior of the earth is lighted by two suns, and that this interior region may be reached through two openings in the earth's surface, one near the North Pole at about 82 degrees latitude, the other near the South Pole.
This Captain Sims is out of his mind.
Well, he has repeatedly invited Baron von Humboldt and Sir Humphrey Davy to descend to the earth's interior through these holes. So far, they've not accepted. No discoverer has as yet ventured that far into the polar regions, either north or south. Sims' first petition, last March, was tabled. But he is again requesting that the government of the United States fit out an expedition to explore the interior of the hollow earth. I shall present that petition.
Well, don't count on me to back it, Johnson. The whole thing is preposterous.
Chair now recognizes Mr. Johnson of Kentucky. Your petition, Mr. Johnson.
What is it? What is it?
To the Honorable the Senate and House of Representatives in Congress assembled, the petition of the subscribing citizens respectfully showeth that, in our opinion, both the national honor and public interest may be promoted by the equipment of an exploring party for the purpose of penetrating the polar regions beyond the limits at present known. And it is our further opinion that Captain John Cleves Sims, late of the United States Army, who professes to have originated a new theory of the earth, which may be verified by a voyage to the north, will be a suitable person to be entrusted with the conduct of such an expedition. We therefore pray Congress to pass a law granting an exploring outfit in conformity to our memorial, and thereby at once subserve the cause of philosophy and the earnest wishes of your constituents. I move that the petition of Captain Sims be referred to the Committee on Foreign Relations.
Mr. Speaker!
The gentleman from Pennsylvania, Mr. Farrelly.
Are you gentlemen aware of the fact that this theory of Captain Sims states that the center of the earth is hollow
and inhabited by living beings. This is the land he would have us explore. This is what Mr. Johnson would have us support. I move that the petition be tabled.
Mr. Speaker, I hope that Captain Sims' petition will not be laid on the table. The memorial here presented has many respectable signatures. Something useful might grow out of the investigation of it.
Mr. Speaker?
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Virginia, Mr. Archer.
Mr. Speaker, it strikes me that the object of those presenting the paper is probably to establish a commerce with the interior inhabitants. May I therefore suggest the propriety of referring the petition not to the Committee on Foreign Relations, but to the Committee on Commerce?
Mr. Speaker, may I ask a question about these interior inhabitants to which the gentleman from Virginia refers? Does he mean the inhabitants of a new land in the usual meaning of the word? Or does the gentleman refer to those of whom Captain Sims speaks so earnestly? The interior inhabitants of the center of the earth.
Gentlemen, the question before the House is whether the petition shall be referred to the Committee on Foreign Relations. Those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
Nay.
Motion defeated.
The Hollow Earth expedition was never fitted out, but the polar regions it referred to were to be heard from soon again. This was a time of expansion and discovery. New England whalers had established a base in the important seal hunting grounds of the Shetland Islands. It was vital that the United States better know this mysterious region at the bottom of the world. In 1818, the same year that Captain John Cleve Sims first broached his unusual theory of a hollow earth, a young New York boy was made midshipman in the United States Navy. 18 years later, when the Sims petition to Congress for a polar expedition was all but forgotten, a later Congress did appropriate funds for just that type of voyage. And that same New York boy, now Lieutenant Charles Wilkes, accepted command of this, the first scientific expedition ever fitted out by the United States government. And as Wilkes read his orders...
You will proceed to explore the southern Antarctic to the southward of Powell's group, and between it and Sandwich Land, endeavoring to reach a high southern latitude. You will take all occasions not incompatible with the great purposes of your undertaking to extend the bounds of science and promote the acquisition of knowledge.
In August 1838, a little fleet sailed from Hampton Roads, Virginia, bound for uncharted southern waters. By February, the group had set up a base of operations in Tierra del Fuego on the frigid southern tip of the American continent.
Captain Maine reporting.
Oh, sit down, Maine.
Yeah, thank you.
Now then, Maine, how's the condition of the porpoise?
Why, good as could be expected, I'd say. She wasn't much of a ship to start out with.
Now, I know that, Maine. Neither were the others.
Mm.
But we're here now. We're going to make it the rest of the way. How about the Seagull?
Her captain reports the men are restless, sir. They're looking for activity soon.
They'll get it, and plenty of it. We sail to the east tomorrow. Log of the ship Vincennes for the third day of March, 1839. Explorations to the east completed and base established in the Shetlands. And now we sail south, build away at daylight, and stood for Palmerland. At 6:30, we made land, which I take to be Mount Hope, the eastern point of Palmerland. After extensive explorations, we arrived at the port of Sydney for supplies. December 16th, 1839. The Vincennes, Peacock, Porpoise, and Flying Fish sailed today from Sydney after a welcome rest. The day is bright and warm. January 10th, 1840. The gales continue. The warm summer of Sydney is far behind us. Today a fog arose in the south. We made anchor on a small island, and after securing, I received a visit from Maine of the Porpoise.
It's about the men, Lieutenant. They can't put up with this weather and exposure much longer. This snow and cold and fog.
Yes?
Well, sir, it's physically dangerous to keep these men exposed anymore. Their clothing and equipment are inadequate. It's a wonder they aren't all abed now. Keep this up much longer, and you'll not have enough well men to sail even one ship out of this frozen desert. As medical officer of this expedition...
As commanding officer of this expedition, I make the decisions.
But we've been a year now in this cold.
And we'll be another year if need be. My orders are to explore, and explore I shall. We've seen enough now, Maine, to make me suspect this might be a continent we skirt and not an isolated group of islands. We're going to sail on until we have proof. Those are your orders.
For 1,600 miles and more, Wilkes and his crew sailed along the ice barrier. It was continuous, uninterrupted. Here was proof, proof enough, that this was truly a continent.
January 30th, 1840, at Piner Bay, in the land of the Antarctic Circle. I make this bay in longitude 140 degrees, 2 minutes, 30 seconds east. Latitude 66 degrees, 45 minutes south. And now that I am convinced of its existence, I give this land the name of the Antarctic continent.
I have here a communication to the Secretary of the Navy. Addressed from Sydney, New South Wales, March 11th, 1840. It is a report from Lieutenant Charles Wilkes, advising on the success of an expedition which this body authorized and for which it appropriated funds. It says, "It affords me great gratification to report that we have discovered a large body of land within the Antarctic Circle, which we named the Antarctic continent, and I refer you to the report of our crews and accompanying charts enclosed herewith."
Remarkable achievement, Farrell, remarkable. I'm proud I had the foresight to support it. This Captain Sims had something.
Johnson, this wasn't the Sims expedition.
Yes, he had something. Remarkable theory. Remember it like it was yesterday. Hollow Earth, openings into it from the South Pole.
I was saying, Johnson, they've disproved that old Sims theory. Lieutenant Wilkes wasn't involved.
Now that they've found the place, Farrelly, I'll get together a bill to authorize exploring it. Foresight, that's the ticket. Wonder what those people down there are really like, eh?
Oh, no.
Little could John Cleve Sims have dreamed, as he propounded his novel theory of the hollow earth, that someday, within a few years of his final petition to Congress, the United States would send forth a polar expedition, finding not a gateway to the center of the globe, but proof of a new continent at the bottom of it, in a daring adventure in research. And that's today's Adventures in Research, produced in cooperation with the Westinghouse Research Laboratories. These programs are broadcast to armed forces personnel overseas through the facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. Join us again next week for another transcribed story of science on Adventures in Research.